Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
So we are ending off, not ending off actually, we are still one or two sermons away, but we are at the end of Titus 3. We still have like a few verses left, but then, yeah, we are done. I didn't mention this earlier, but it has been such a wonderful like journey and through Titus and through Timothy, and I think me and Jan that preached, it means so much like to go through these things and work through it. And I obviously want to just encourage you to just read and just dig for gold. John Piper says you can rake for leaves when you're reading the word, or you can dig for gold when you read the word. And it's always worth it. It's always worth it to really dig and to see what the Lord wants to show us. And I wanna start off with reading the passage for us. So if that's okay, Malcolm. We'll start with the intro so that you're not completely lost to why I'm saying funny things in the intro, but that you understand where we are going. So let's just read this passage. It says, "But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned." And it may feel like it's quite serious. There's a few things that this passage wants to show us. It's three things. It's our theme as well. It's distraction, deception, and then division. So as we are distracted, we become deceived, and then we bring division. Call it the three D's. But it is Paul is warning us against division. That's what he wants to say. And he wants to say, how do we make sure that we don't become divided? Obviously, it's avoiding these things, but it's holding fast to the truth. Amen? So let's just speak a bit about the truth. The truth is the Word of God. Amen? As John 1 says, the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. The Word is the thing that keeps us together. Without the Word or the truth, we have no means to say to one another that there's this that you do wrong or this that you do right. We have no idea. We are lost without the Word of God. And therefore, it's so important. And even today, when hearing these things, it's important not only to hear it, obviously to hear and apply, but also to understand it so that you can tell other people. Okay, so when listening today, it's important that when you need to tell this to someone, you listen with that mindset as well. The Word of God is the foundation and truly really important that we hold fast to the truth. Otherwise, we become sidetracked. We become distracted. That's the first D. So maybe just think. You don't have to turn to someone, but just think for a few seconds. What distractions can you name that there have been over the last 2 months in our world? In our world even. Like that's relative to all of us. There's a bunch of things that can distract us. As, I don't know who of you have heard, but last week meant to be the rapture. Distraction. I mean, the war in Gaza, or I don't even know where it is, but Israel and Ukraine and all those things, Palestina. It's distractions. People are spending so much time trying to understand these things. You know, even Charlie Kirk that's assassinated, and it's really traumatic, and I'm sure that a lot of people starting to know God even through this. But now, as of this moment, it's becoming a distraction. Eh? So it's really important to discern when something is distracting me from doing what Jesus is telling me to do, and when, you know, I'm sincerely following Him. So it's maybe think of things that are maybe distracting you in the last while, because there's a lot of chance to become distracted. We also see, when we're speaking of being deceived, churches that are becoming deceived. That's preaching the word, which is, it's serious. So how do we make sure that we don't become deceived? I've churches just accepting people. There's this motion going on in the world which says that truth and love is separate. You know, Vian spoke about it 2 weeks ago. But it's the same thing. I cannot love you if I don't share with you the truth. Amen? And I think so often we become, in a sense, so scared to hurt people that we don't share the truth. And that's a lie, actually, from the devil. Coming to say that don't say the truth to people because it will hurt them. It doesn't even make sense, amen? We love people when we share the truth of them. I've heard of these prayer meetings that people are hosting, where they say, everyone is welcome to pray of all religions. Please come and pray with us to your God, whether you are a Muslim or a Hindu or a Christian. And then guess who has a problem with it? The Christians. Why? Because the founder of Christianity says that I'm the truth, the way, and the life. And there's no one else. No one can get to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said in John 14. And it's so important that we are exclusively following Jesus. I mean, so many other religions are just like, yeah, sure, come as you are. We've spoken about this. I mean, in the last 50 sermons a lot, but it's so important to just emphasize it again. There's one truth, and it's the word, and it's following Jesus. And if there's one thing that Paul wants to say through these, it sounds as if it's harsh verses, is let's love Jesus more. Let's hold fast to His word. Amen? Because if we hold fast to His word, He calls us for basic things. He calls us for loving Him. John 17 says, this is eternal life, that you may know Jesus, that you may know Him. That's the first thing, to love Him. To love your spouse. To love the people around you. To love His bride. Why are we becoming distracted with all kinds of other things? Let's do that, and let's do that well. Amen. Otherwise, we're basically building our own God. Nah. There's this audio going around which I've heard, and it may sound harsh, but they are basically they're basically mocking people that build their own God. And in a sense, it's true. So what it says, we all know Build-A-Bear. Nah? So they have this audio of building a God, saying, welcome at Build-A-God. How would you like your God to be, basically? And they even ask, the first question is, do you want them to be male or female? And you're like, no, obviously, well, I think I want them female because, you know, my dad, he harassed me when I was younger. So the first thing which this audio shows is, out of experience, we are starting to build the God. Amen? So we choose Him female, or the God female. And then they ask a second question, which is, do you want this God to have an afterlife? And they're like, yeah, of course, heaven. Everyone should go to heaven. Oh, yeah, except my ex-boyfriend and Hitler. I mean, they shouldn't be going to heaven. So out of experience, we're building this God. And this is the truth. And then at the end, they're like, oh, man, what would you like to call this God? No, I'd like to call Him Jesus. And then they're like, wow, yeah, great choice. Everyone calls this Jesus. And it sounds crazy, but it's what we are doing if we are not holding fast to the Word of God. It's what we are doing if we are not holding fast to the Word of God. The Word of God explains God's heart. It explains God's character. And God lives outside of our experiences of Him. Amen? He does not change when I have an experience of Him that's this way or that way. He stays the same. And it's our responsibility to know His heart, to understand the gospel, to understand His Word. Amen? Otherwise, we are serving a God which we have built. I like my God to say this. I like my God to accept this sin. And then I can go on. No. The true God is the one of the Bible. And what I'm trying to say today is that the truth is important, because without the truth, there will be division. Amen? If we don't have a way to safe house, the truth. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15 says the church is the pillar and the buttress of the truth. That's our job. Amen? We should protect the truth. So let's read these verses again. And let's dive into it. It says, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law. For they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, I have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. And we see a bit of a change in how Paul is writing. He starts off with remind them and insist on these things in verses 1 and 8. Insist on these things. Remind them of the grace of the Lord. Remember that you have been a sinner, that you have been saved. But avoid these things. Because we're protecting the truth. We're protecting what we have just said in verses 4 to 7. We're protecting these things. So what are these things we should avoid? Controversies and dissensions. Well, it can be anything that are worthless and unprofitable. Because that's what the four are for. It says avoid these things for. They are unprofitable and worthless. Worthless for what? For a kingdom. For eternal life. Worthless. If it's worthless, avoid. Avoid is like to run away, to run around. If you see things that's just worthless, you know, debating about, I want to say nonsense, but, you know, small things that doesn't make sense. Run away. And then it's our job to warn. To say, hey, in a loving way, and we'll get to that. How does it look practically? I've heard of this person that she's going to churches. I think it's a woman as far as I've read. It was in some article. But it said that she's going to churches trying to help them with the issues that they have. Interesting, right? Someone helping churches with issues. But 80% of their issues were worthless and unprofitable issues. It was issues as the start time of church, or the lights in the church, or the way the seats are packed. Why? That's the good question. Eh? Why is it these worthless things? Because it's rooted in pride. It's rooted in pride. I want to use this example. It's very funny. We can all relate with this. If you're at home and you see there's a cup on the on the table. I see Stefan looking at Pamela. And there's a cup there on the table, you know, and you're like, why is this cup here? You know, why is it spilled here? Or anything like that. And you're like, I don't know. it was probably a kid. And then after half an hour, you're like debating about why we never go to your parents. Someone should just have laid down their pride and just taken the cup and cleaned the table. That's it. But because I want to be right, I want to be correct, I want to be heard, it just goes into nonsense. Amen? And that's what happens in church as well. It's rooted in pride. So that's what in verses 10 and 11, which Paul is addressing, he's addressing prideness, a pridefulness. So let's start again, or let's start with verse 9, saying, but avoid these foolish controversies, these genealogies, these dissensions, and these quarrels about the law. I just feel, you know, often if we spend time at Jesus' feet, the amount of time that we spend on worthless things, you know, how much more, you know, how much more of a beautiful bride we would have been. I mean, you know, spending time on YouTube, that's just worthless. And the question, I think, what Paul wants to ask us is, what are you busy with? Where is God calling you to obedience? I mean, what is he calling you to do? Because if we're afraid of obeying, if you want to avoid obeying, we go to these debates and controversies and dissensions. Dissensions is almost like a debate, which does not mean anything. Where is God leading you? Where does he want you to be obedient? And then why is it important to avoid these things? Well, firstly, for our sanctification, it's sanctifying for us to obey Jesus. Amen? And then in light of this scripture, why is it important? To maintain the unity. To maintain the unity. Otherwise, there will be division. If we don't avoid these things, it spills over into division. It takes us in different courses. And in my just preparing of the sermon, I was just reminded, you know, God saying the importance of unity. And there's these two verses which I just like to practically apply this morning. The first one is Mark 11. It says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And that's the first action point. Just for a few seconds, I'd like you to just think of that. If there's anything you have against anyone, to forgive them. To forgive them. The second verse, maybe they've done nothing wrong. Then I want to encourage you with this verse, Ephesians 4 verse 2. It says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. What is it to bear with someone? It means that it's sometimes difficult. But it's something that God calls us to do. In love and patience, in humbleness, in gentleness, we bear. Why? This whole scripture of Ephesians 4 is about maintaining the unity. Maintaining the unity of the body of Christ. I shall bear. Amen. So there's three things we can do. We can either forgive, we can have a conversation, which will be really good, and we can take this to the Lord and ask him, Lord, help me to bear. Help me to bear in this situation with this person or these people, or maybe it's even you know, a group of people or something that's, you know, maybe it's not even a person, it's just something you need to bear with. Let's just take 15 seconds. Let's just ask the Lord, is there someone or something I need to ask him for help? And is there someone I need to forgive? Lord, we ask that you help us. We ask that you guide us. We ask for boldness if there's discussions to be had, to be have. Yeah, and we pray, Lord, that you will help us to forgive if there's someone, Lord, we have something against. Pray that we will forgive them truly. Thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's something small, but it's needed to do this often. Amen. That's how we maintain the unity. It's a small practical. And that brings us to our first point. The church is to maintain the unity by focusing on the truth. We cannot maintain the unity by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. We need to obey Him. We have just obeyed two scriptures. We need the Word. We need to focus on the truth. By obeying the truth, we keep our gaze on Jesus. Rather start obeying the truth than philosophizing and have these dissensions. Amen? So looking at verse 10, going on. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, I have nothing more to do with him. So this division, it obviously refers to bringing disunity. Why is it bringing disunity? Because of the bad habits which Paul has spoken of just now. He says, there's controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels. If we keep on doing that, it will flow into bad fruit, into disunity, bringing division. That is a person who stirs division, someone who does this regularly. Okay? And that is, it is basically the opposite of building the kingdom. It's breaking down the kingdom. It's the opposite of doing, you know, Matthew 6:33, which says, seek first the kingdom. It's just seeking first my own self and the things that I want to speak about and that I worry about. It's the opposite. And therefore, we help these people. We help them. We warn them in a loving way. And it's really serious to Jesus. We also saw 2 weeks ago, Vian speaking about Matthew 18, which is a small bit different. It says, if you see your brother in sin, you go to him. Because why? Because if he listens, you've gained your brother. Wow, praise Jesus. That's why. That's why we do this. For eternity, for eternal life, looking to the kingdom. I mean, and it may sound harsh and as this, you know, the world constantly saying, do not do this. The Bible says, do this, but do it in a loving way. And we'll get to now to how does it look like to do it in a loving way. But that brings us to our second point. We as a church, which is every one of us, must deal correctly with divisive people. Okay, wow, that means you as well. Not only church leadership. It means every one of us has a contribution in how this looks like. Because 1 Timothy 3 says, the church of God is a pillar and a buttress of the truth. And therefore, we protect this. And Paul is not speaking here about, you know, honest disagreements or small things that we chat about. He's speaking of someone that has a prideful heart that does not want to listen. You know, after warning him twice, you know, he knows what he's doing and he's still doing it. Okay, there's a difference between someone that has a heart for change, someone that does not have a heart for change, a dishonest skeptic, they call it. Now, if I come with a problem, I want to help, I want to solve this issue. And this is crucial. Let me read you Galatians 1, verse 6 to 9. Paul also saying, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Amen. And Paul is saying here, it's so important to test everything, all the words, every slogan, everything your dad tells you. It's really important. Everyone. Doesn't matter how much respect you have for this person. If it's not the truth, it's not the truth. And we love Jesus the most. Amen. And we follow him. And even this word today, We need to test. We need to go and dig for gold. Make sure that this is the truth. This is what God is trying to say. So I want to get a bit practical. This verses 10 and 11 starts to get a bit practical. So firstly, I want us to answer the question, how do we recognize a divisive person? Because it says we should warn this person once or twice. So firstly, this word divisive comes from the word opinionated, which goes together with the unteachability. Okay, this opinionated is something that it's very difficult for someone to tell them. They're dishonest skeptic. They don't want to listen, which means that they have this pride, amen, in them. And obviously, the Holy Spirit can at any time work in someone's heart. Therefore, it's important that when we warn them, that we do it in much love and much grace. But after speaking to someone like this, you'd probably feel ununified. You'd probably feel like, wow, I just feel a bit irritated or frustrated with someone, or I'm angry at someone. Well, this doesn't feel that I'm loving Jesus more. Every time I speak to this person, I just feel further from Jesus. I don't know why. And there is a perfect opportunity to have a discussion like that in a loving way. To just say, hey, you know, the two discussions that we've had the last two times, I just want to share with you, this was my experience, that I feel further from Jesus, and I even feel angry at this person which you mentioned. And I just want to say, like, I don't think it's good. I think you need to go and speak to him, and then you make sure he goes, or to the group of people, or whatever the issue may be. But that's the first discussion. It doesn't have to be a hit him with the Bible and make him repent. Amen. So that's how we do it. That's how we identify someone like that. And be careful for the pride in your own heart. Amen. To really ask the Lord to help us first. Okay, so why do we warn them? Okay, well, we want to help them to repentance. Amen. Why do we go to them? We want them to turn back to the truth. Because that's the most loving thing. Amen. The heart for this will always be to help someone to repentance. Never. It will never be to get rid of them. Amen. It's important. It may sound obvious, but it's really important. And patience must be shown. And even if the sin is really bad, every effort must be made for them to turn back to Jesus. Amen. And we will be accountable to God for that. Every one of us. If we see someone bringing a half-truth, we are accountable for that. If you are standing in a group where something is shared which is false and you do not say anything, it's wrong. It means that you are condoning what they are saying that is okay. And it's not okay. But to say something, but say it in love, is really important. Secondly, if they don't listen after a second time, why don't we want anything to do with them? Because this sounds harsh. But just remember also the context. This is after, I want to say many times, you have warned them, but at least two times we have explicitly warned them to not do this. They continue in doing this. We want to maintain the unity and we want to protect the truth. Okay, that's why we say we want nothing more to do with them. Okay, they know what they are doing. They are self-condemned. That's what the word says. And it says knowing that such a person. It's not wondering if such a person or guessing if such a person. Paul is knowing, if you warn them twice, knowing, you can know. This person is warped and sinful. And he is self-condemned, which means that he is actively walking in sin. And he does not want to turn back. That's why we say we want nothing more to do with him. And obviously, he can repent. Even after that, after we say we want nothing more to do with you, he can repent. And we can say, okay. And we will watch. We keep an eye on him. But he's always welcome. Amen. But he has this decision to make. And I think for us, you know, this morning, it's a bit practical, and maybe you feel like, wow, this has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. Okay? It's your job to make sure that the truth is proclaimed in the world, not only in this church, definitely in this church, but in the world as well. It's our job to help people. It's a loving thing to do. It's not a hating thing to do. It's a loving thing to do. And most of the times, if we prayerfully do things like this, the Holy Spirit shows up. Well, all of the time. He's always there. And we need to pray and prayerfully ask the Lord, how do we deal with situations like this? But we cannot say nothing. Okay. We are the church. We are to maintain the truth. And like I said, most of the time it's an easy discussion. It's a simple discussion. Just saying, hey, I've picked this up. It's not healthy. And they'll probably be like, sorry. You know, I didn't even realize that. Okay, so let's do this and stop people to bring this unity. Okay, and as this, we're ending off with this harsh part, you know, of saying to someone they are warped and sinful. Just want to say, these verses, Paul wants us to just take a step back, and he wants to say, let's love Jesus. Let's love Jesus, because this is caused because of not loving Jesus. This is caused by not obeying what he's calling us to do. And I just want to say, if we follow Jesus and love him and think of him and spend time with him, and I'm speaking of, you know, spending time with him, minutes, not on your way to work, worship a 3-minute song and say, wow, that was a great worship day. No, we don't want to give him the scraps. We want to invest. We want to give him the first fruit of our lives, of our days. Let's make time. I want to encourage you this morning. Let's spend time with him. Let's love him well. Let's love our spouses well. Let's love his church well. This won't be an issue. Okay, but let's be wary to protect the truth. Amen. Okay, let's throw up those last 2 points. Just 2 practical points which I'd like us to just think of. How's your focus on Jesus been lately? And it's okay to see the things going on in the world, but were you investing in them? Maybe you have seen things that are distracting you. Maybe you've identified things like that. Let's just repent of that. Let's just say, Jesus, I wanna focus on you. I wanna focus on your truth more. And then secondly, how is it going with your unity in the church? And I also want to say, is there anyone you know of, you know, that's not in unity, to pray for them? It's not necessarily the right thing to go to them and force them to have discussions, but to really pray for them. And let's maintain the truth. And when there's this falseness coming in, or a false doctrine, or, you know, speaking and debating about things that are worthless, let's say something. Let's say, guys, we need to avoid. Let's focus on the truth. And yes, it won't always be easy, but let's pray. Let's pray. If we pray, we say, God, we give this to you. Amen. Let's pray more. We should be a church that prays a lot. Okay, and our action points is pray for unity, pray for focus on Jesus, and pray for boldness.